Welcome to It's Your World, I Just Live In It, a weekly podcast that enlightens you on a variety of subjects. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Once again, this is Heather, and I am very excited to talk this week with you about two shows that I absolutely love, and I'm sure many of you do, Golden Girls and Sex and the City. Why am I talking about these two shows together? Well, because I feel, and this is something that I've actually come across in researching a little bit about this, are two shows that are actually very similar. And when a lot of people talk about the Golden Girls, they say, oh, it's Sex and the City for the older people, or vice versa. It's if Sex and the City, you're watching that, they say, oh, this is like Golden Girls, except younger and a little bit saucier. So I just thought it would be fun to kind of discuss a few things about it. So if you're ready, get yourself a Cosmopolitan or cut a piece of cheesecake and let's dive in. First, we'll start with the Golden Girls. That episode, the show actually started in 1985 and ran to 1992. And it touched on a lot of subjects that looking at it now was very surreal, if you will, at the time. Everything from AIDS to lesbian and gay plots and sex for women over 50. And they also did this on Saturday nights. Back then in the 80s, you didn't have must-see TV during the week as much. It was more in the weekends. And they dominated the Saturday night slot for television. So people would kind of make their plans about watching this show. Fun fact about me, when I started watching it, I was actually babysitting a lot at that time. And I truly thought that Bea Arthur, who played Dorothy Svoronek, was a man. This sounds terrible, but because she was so much taller than the other ones and her voice was so deep, I thought, oh, they just got a guy to play that part. I have no idea why, and I can't believe I'm sharing that with you guys, but yeah, there you go. Ironically, the character that Bea Arthur portrayed, Dorothy Svoronek, they did make a lot of they made a lot of remarks at the issues of her, at her expense, if you will, for her looks. And that was something that I found out was, it wore on her after a while. It got to be too much, because even though you're acting, it probably starts to sink in a little bit. And so that was kind of difficult. But anyway, as Sophia says, I digress. There were four actresses that this show was based around. You had Sophia Petrillo, who was played by the late Estelle Getty. You had Dorothy Svoronek, played by the late Bea Arthur. You had Blanche Devereaux, played by Rue McClanahan, who also has passed away. Ironically, I just got a kitty a few weeks ago, and I did name her Blanche Devereaux. She is living up to the name. No, she is not as much of a minx, but she is definitely a diva. Then you had the only living Golden Girl still around with us, America's sweetheart, Betty White, who played Rose Nyland. And these four women had a chemistry on screen that was something that, if when you were older, you always were saying, oh, when I get older, I want to be the Golden Girls. You know, I want to have that kind of friendship. I want to have that dynamic. And one of the things that you love to see, too, is the story with the plot lines that they would include. Just, for example, with Rose, she was from this town called St. Olaf, Minnesota. And some of the stories she would tell, oh, my God, I don't know how they got through it. And then you would turn around and have Blanche talking about all of her sexcapades throughout the era. Dorothy, with her quick wit to always have a smart remark with them. And then Sophia, with her wise old tales from Sicily, as she would talk about. So it was, it's a show that has lived on since it's gone off air. And I actually own all of them on DVD, which is kind of fun, because I find that's true with a lot of TV shows. When you own them on DVD, there's a lot of extra footage that is not available because they have to cut so much out due to commercials. So you kind of get some bonuses. I found that with Friends, with Seinfeld, with The Office, with Golden Girls. I know that DVDs are on their way out, but if you really want, if you love a show, like I love shows, and you want to get maybe a little bit more, I would recommend investing in having that, because in my opinion, it's worth it. So moving on from that, There was also a little bit of feuding off screen, and I don't want to make it sound that they were fighting or anything. It was pretty well known that Bea Arthur was not that fond of Betty White, which breaks my heart. I just don't like to think of him that way. And from what I've read, it sounds as though as the years went on, there wasn't any bad blood. It's just that Bea Arthur's son made a comment that his mom was the type of person that she always seemed to want to have somebody there that she made an enemy. And for some reason, she just couldn't take to how Betty White was, for example, on screen and her presence off screen when she would interact with the audience. Bea Arthur was from a different acting era than Betty White, and it just kind of bothered her a little bit more. But I think in the end, it just, they were able to move past that. And and interviews that I read, Betty White was aware of this, but they didn't speak ill of each other outside of it. So that was something that I liked seeing. So when Sex and the City first came on the scene, they came on 6 years after The Golden Girls stopped airing, which was 1998. Now, the difference with Sex and the City is that they were on cable. So with cable, you had a lot more luxury to do some things. And believe me, they crossed that barrier. It was also fun to watch the season as they changed so much about them. Even just in the direction of the first season, they had, for example, they would mock interview people and they would have their name and their age and just talk about things. But in the second season, that was nowhere to be found. So I know that each season you've kind of see as things change. So I am glad when you don't see that anymore, because I like the direction that they went in with it. I'm sure that they were concerned about my opinion. I was first introduced to Sex and the City by my cousin. I did not have HBO. She had the first season on VHS tapes. That is correct. I said VHS. And I sat down and fell in love with the show. I then went and purchased the first and second season and had those on my VHS tapes. Would sit in my apartment, smoke my cigarettes when Carrie would smoke. I used to smoke. And one of the reasons I believe I fell in love with the show is that it really had not ever been introduced or shared, at least that I had seen something like that. And so to see four single women living in New York City, making it on their own, being together in their friendships and sharing in their relationships, sharing in their experiences with men, the fashion, the drinks, everything with it was something that you kind of envied and thought, well, why can't I do that? The actresses that played the parts were also so crucial. And you had Carrie Bradshaw, played by Sarah Jessica Parker, Charlotte York, Kristen Davis, Miranda Hobbs, Cynthia Nixon, and Samantha Jones was played by Kim Cattrall. Now, not only did they have the show, they were able to go on and make two movies, and they're in the process of making another series of Sex and the City. It's not going to be called that, and I'm sad to say Kim Cattrall is not going to be returning. There is a rift between her and Sarah Jessica Parker, and with what you read, when it comes down to it, it started back on the show, and it had to do with money. And I think it just escalated from there. It makes me sad that it's not going to be happening with her, but I also don't know that they're going to replace the Samantha character. That has not been said, or what's going to be happening with that. So I think with comparison of the shows, the characters were very similar too. So you had Golden Girls, you had Blanche, who was very comfortable with her sexuality. Sex and the City, you had Samantha. Then you had Charlotte and her naivete, even though she was such a brilliant woman, her looking at the picture in her mind of how she wanted things to be so perfect was kind of so unrealistic. And that was kind of the way Rose was on Golden Girls. Miranda could be a little bit of both Sophia and Dorothy, but with Sophia, I definitely see more of that. And it was just her hard-headedness, the way she was straightforward and just stuck to her guns with things. And that was how Miranda was. And when Miranda was first at the beginning of the show, you kind of wondered, why would this woman be friends with these kind of women? It kind of always threw me. But as the seasons went on, I grew to love her, and it was one of those things that you'd love to see her character grow and change and soften, and that was something that was so fun to experience. And then, of course, Carrie was a lot of Dorothy, and she was somebody that she loved her independence, but she was truly looking for someone. But there would be times when it just, she was okay with putting it out there with who she truly was. I mean, heck, she was a writer for a sex column. And she knew that when she did ultimately end up with Mr. Big, she had that time for a while there that she didn't look at herself, that she was almost good enough for him. Because I've not lived in New York, but the general feeling that you get from movies and shows is that there's definitely a status quo to where you live in that city. And he was more of the Upper East Side, and she wasn't. And I can't imagine why that would bother you, but I get it at that time, at that age, and that's hard. And it's a very big status situation. With Sex and the City, I was finally introduced to some fashion names I was completely unaware of. I never had heard of Manolo Blahniks. I've never owned a pair. I cannot walk in high heels. I have weak ankles. But it also introduced you to Cosmopolitans. So if you went out at that time, you ordered a Cosmopolitan. Even if you didn't like it, you just wanted to drink it in that martini glass and be like the girls. They had a huge fashion inspiration. Carrie wore these huge flowers on her for season three, and I remember being in New York and Company, and they had some, and I was ecstatic that I could get something that looked like Carrie. They also inspired not only with their clothing, but hair too. I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker has these beautiful curls, and the way she would do her color was something to be envied as well. The same could be said for the Golden Girls, is that they had at that time a lot of sequins and shoulder pads, but God, I love to see it. I mean, there was one episode they had an event to go to, and Dorothy walks out, and it's kind of a mimic of a tuxedo, but it looked like it was almost blue velour. I mean, I have no idea where they got that, but wow, it was incredible. So the fashion that was shared in these shows at that time was something that was so relevant for it. And Sex and the City, though, it set the bar extremely high with that. I read somewhere one time, too, with Sex and the City, a lot of the dating stories were based on actual things that happened to some of the writers. And one of the writers that was in there, he actually coined the phrase, well, he's just not that into you. And when he went on with that, it was because it created that episode. He then wrote a book. It became a movie, and it all started in the writing room for Sex and the City. So that was something that was very interesting. There was a couple of spinoff shows also from Golden Girl. The one show that came off of it that was a success was called Empty Nest. And sometimes they would bring some of the characters on Golden Girls to kind of, I think, introduce them. But that one was pretty successful. They did try to continue on without Bea Arthur in a show called Golden Palace, which interestingly enough had the actor Don Cheadle in it, who is extremely successful. That only lasted one season. It just did not hit the mark for it. So, and if you want to kind of see some of these, they are available to watch on TV Land, Hulu, Sling TV. Those are where you might be able to find them, or you can get them on DVD. There were some famous people that were on there. Alex Trebek, Mickey Rooney, Bob Hope, Dick Van Dyke, Sonny Bono, Demi Reynolds, Burt Reynolds, Mario Lopez, before he went on Saved by the Bell. One of the most famous ones is George Clooney. He starred in an episode as a cop, and he had a pretty significant side role on that episode, and it's just funny to see him on there. Someone else who had a very minor role in the background was Quentin Tarantino. He played an Elvis impersonator. With Sex and the City, there were a few more people that they were able to get on with their show. There was no spinoffs from Sex and the City. None of the other characters went on to try and do their own show. But some of the bigger names that were on there were Carrie Fisher, Vince Vaughn, Matthew McConaughey, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Bradley Cooper, which is funny to see him in that role. He played this model that hit on Carrie when she went out all one night. And it's, you kind of think it's him, but you're not quite sure. John Bon Jovi, Justin Theroux, David Duchovny, Will Arnett. That part was hilarious. He was a guy that liked to have sex and almost try and get caught in public places. And it just is funny to think of him as that person. Elizabeth Banks, Kat Dennings, when she was just a teenager, she did a really good job as this role. Jim Gaffigan, Margaret Cho, Molly Shannon, Amy Sedaris, Nathan Lane, which his character was funny because when you saw him, and ironically, Nathan Lane was in The Producers with Matthew Broderick, who is married to Sarah Michelle Gellar. His character on the show was marrying a woman, and they were all thinking, no, he's gay, but he said he wasn't, but whatever. Kristen Johnston, Candace Bergen, Blair Underwood, who is so good in his role with this part. Miranda and him have a fling, and he does a great job. Plus, he's very easy on the eyes. So if you wanted to watch Sex and the City now, of course, it's HBO, HBO Max, Prime, DirecTV, and Xfinity Stream has it. It used to be on TBS, but I'm going to be honest, I don't even know how they could have even aired Samantha at that time. With Sex and the City, the sex scenes for Samantha, like, I got to give her kudos. She had no holds bars with it. She went all in. And to do that, to show that she was what most people would consider a man, like, she could go in, have a one-night stand, and not have any obligation or feelings connected to it was a rarity that you did not see. There were some other episodes that, for example, Miranda found out that she had chlamydia and she had to contact all of her partners, and then finding out how many people she had slept with was just a little bit overwhelming. So they really touched on stuff that was, it happens. I mean, and maybe to some extent, not to the level that some of it happened, but it really did. You had to go through some of this, and it made you feel good that if there was heartbreak, how they experienced it, you knew you were okay with that. And the same with the Golden Girls, they touched on something for women in their 50s and older that they still wanted to experience love. They wanted to find that. They wanted to have those friendships still. They desired to still work and support themselves and to be taken seriously. And that was something that I think I gravitated toward, especially with Sex and the City, is that I admired seeing these independent women fight for what they wanted and get it. And it was so amazing. And I remember one episode, Charlotte said to them, maybe we can just be each other's soulmates. And not to say that they didn't have their soulmates and their significant others who they ended up with, but they had that bond with their friends that is something that you are very fortunate to find in your life. And so the fun thing about watching these back when they're happening is, first of all, how the trends change. I mean, even just the technology at the time is so funny to think about it. But also to see how different things are now too with social media, with online dating. It's so different for all of that to be crossed over on that barrier. And now with them rebooting Sex and the City, I'm very curious to see how they have the characters come back and what they're going to be at in this point in their life. I think it's just in pre-production right now. They did sign on John Corbin to come back as Aiden. I've read some rumors that they might not be bringing back Mr. Big. So that would be kind of disappointing to have that happen after all of this time and then him not be there. But I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I'm very excited about it. But I remember my girlfriends and I, we got all dressed up to go see the first movie. The second movie we didn't, and I have to say, I did not love the second movie as much. I mean, there's parts that I liked, but it just wasn't the same as what the first one was. So I hope that if you've never experienced either of these shows, like, sit down and watch them. They're just fun. They're good shows. There's some that are real funny, some that are a little bit more serious. And I think in the light that they still have so much relevance and today is huge. I mean, Golden Girls was on almost 30 years ago. It went off air almost 30 years ago. And it's hard to believe that Sex and the City has been off air as long as it has. And another thing about Sex and the City that I loved, when September 11th happened, a lot of shows never really went into September 11th. And I understand why. But one particular season, they made it a point to really focus about Carrie's love of the city. And I think that they were doing that because of New York City. They wanted to show that New Yorkers, that New York, that they were strong, that they were going to come back. And that was really represented in that season. Plus, she was pregnant in real life. So that was another thing that they had to cut that season short. So they didn't have her focusing too much on her romantic life. Her romantic partner, she said, was the city that year. And at the time, I was like, I don't know that I like this. But as I've gotten older, I really appreciate that because I understand why they did that. And it's really cathartic to see that happening at that time. So I also had to say, too, with the Golden Girls, I'm on a spell. Before I go to bed, I usually watch the same show for a while. I was on Friends. Now I'm on Golden Girls. And it just cracks me up to see some of the things that they had for storylines at that time, because you really kind of are shocked at some of the things that they talked about. So I have to applaud them for really stepping over the barrier at that time. And again, that might be why I resonate to that show so much. So if you've not, again, witnessed any of these, please do so and enjoy them. And be sure to look on TikTok for some simulations that people recreate of scenes from, I see a lot more Golden Girls than I do of Sex and the City, because there's just the comic timing that goes well with it. And then also the memorabilia. I have a Golden Girls magnet set on the side of my refrigerator. I know a friend of mine also has that too. And I love my niece got me Golden Girl wine glasses. And I love that stuff. I think it's so cheesy, but I adore it. And I get such a kick out of it. All my masks that I've been wearing have been Golden Girls and people love it. So there is something still so nostalgic about having all of that. So I hope you enjoyed this fun little episode. It was just a quick little introduction to these shows and why they're so important now for women, even after they've been off the air for so long. And I look forward to next week, of course, a whole different topic. So until that time, remember that it's your world. I just live in it. We'll be right back.